everybody. Another week, another CWF Diaries, except next week there won't be one because this is the end of the road, at least for season one. Season two is pretty much scheduled, though. Hopefully everything breaks right and I get all those interviews and maybe pick up one or two others while I'm down there. But I am beginning much the way that I began the season, or ending much the way I began the season, I should say. I am about 2 minutes from jumping in the car and heading down to Gibsonville, North Carolina. You might recall I was on my way to Absolute Justice, the big summer super show, during the opening of the first CWF Road Diaries. And now to close that season, I'm inches away from getting in that car again and heading down for the big fall super show, CWF Rumble. And this time, I'm going to have a lot of friends there because CWF FanCon is taking place. I am super excited about that and everybody coming in. Look, if you get this, you probably got 48 hours or less to get there. But if you're anywhere within driving distance, show up Friday, 6 p.m. You pay 10 bucks. You can even go on Twitter at FanConCWF. Pay your 10 bucks through PayPal to Jeremy and have your meal without ever having any cash on hand. Cool dinner Friday night, Q&A with Brad Stutz and Grant Sawyer, who are kind of the creative and production heads, and then we're going to watch some matches after that. Saturday will be a ton of Q&As, a big surprise scheduled, and then the CWF Rumble is Saturday night at CWF Mid-Atlantic on Twitter. Search on Facebook for CWF Mid-Atlantic. CWFWorldwide.com takes you right to their YouTube page, which has a ton of content, including their weekly show, CWF Worldwide, which drops every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. This dog. You want to say anything, Dre? I got a beautiful puppy, Visla, here with me. She's breathing heavily, but she doesn't seem to have any dog words for you. So, look, this is the final week. We got Grant Sawyer and Kane Justice on the show to wrap up their final part. I think we talk about factions. And then to close out the entire season, I could not grab my partner in crime, Jeremy Bryant, JB, so I grabbed the next best thing. That's his gimmick, PETA Schumacher, a.k.a. at Titans of Wrestling. Pete is a favorite on the Place to Be podcast network for shows like World Class, or World Cast, rather, and This Week in Wrestling. And we're going to talk about the CWF FanCon. Man, I've been talking a lot. Let's just get to it. You know how it is. Well, let me ask you this, past or present, of what you're aware of, what's a building that you think, like, man, I could have gotten crazy heat in that building? I could have made people want to, like, old ladies would have tried to stab me with hat pins, and guys would have been, like, spitting chewing tobacco at me or whatever.
I mean, like, I have to play with what I know, and, sure, like, something that reminds me of, like, what we do at CWF or whatever, like, the old Jim Crockett promotion, that building, yeah, when they had, like, what was, like, the announce table on, like, one view, and then you would just walk to the ring there.
Oh, like the TV.
Yeah,
TV.
Center stage.
Yeah.
And Techwood, like, or whatever.
Like, I've seen so much stuff there, like the Piper and the beer bottle thing, Wahoo McDaniel. Like, I like watching that kind of stuff. It was an old Southern style.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do at CWF, and that's really all I know about pro wrestling, so.
It's not a bad place to only, if you're going to only know something.
Sure, sure.
Because there are people up my way who only know, like, WWE 1989, so.
Right, I mean, that's right.
Now, Stutzy and me got into it because that's his
and that's mine, too.
I don't understand, but okay.
I just telling you about, I was telling you this story the other day, right?
What is it that you, because you're from here.
Well, the thing is, but I was born here, but I actually started watching wrestling later, and, you know, it's easy, because me and Stutzy kind of started around the same time. Stutzy actually may start watching before me, even though I'm actually several years older than Stutzy. But my start with wrestling is weird, because, like, in 85, I didn't watch wrestling, but I knew Piper, you know? Like, if I was fighting around with my friends, you know, go over to sleep over at somebody's house, like, well, I'll be Piper because I know he doesn't abide by any rules, so I can do whatever I want to. And I'm, you know, kind of, you know, they had the cartoon and stuff. But I wasn't like a hardcore wrestling fan. I was, you know, see kids bring the magazines to school and whatnot. And then I lived in Missouri, but I was spending my summers here with the rest of my family because, you know, mom and dad had separated. So summers I was staying here. And it was almost like in the summer of 87, I was like, you know what? Everyone's watching wrestling. I'm going to make it my mission to get into wrestling. It was almost like, my summer goal is to watch wrestling. And it like, after one episode, it was WWF's, it was Superstars or Challenge, I don't remember which it was, Superstars Challenge, and it was, you know, over from that point. Like, it hooked me immediately. Now, I only started watching WWF in 87. I started watching NWA a little bit more the next year. The first NWA thing I really remember was a friend showed me, because it just happened to be a random episode on a weekend morning, was, when the Midnights injured the Rock and Rolls on the way to the ring and they dropped the tag titles to Arn and Tully. That's what really hooked me on the NWA. But it's funny because in the summer of 87, I'm the WWF guy. Living here in North Carolina, if you think about the summer of 87, what was going on in the NWA?
The summer. I know, had Garvin already started, the running Garvin thing?
Bigger than that. The summer of 87...
Seven match series?
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
That was 86. All right. In the summer of 87, my uncle comes up to me like just one day and is like, hey, I see you like wrestling. You want to go to wrestling sometime? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. He's like, oh, the NWA is coming to Greensboro. I was like, oh, no, I just watched WWF. So I basically turned down a chance to go to the Greensboro Coliseum in the summer of 87 to see the first ever War Games.
Oh, monster. Wow.
You didn't tell me that. Wow. You must have been killing yourself after
During the worldwide era of CWF, I don't think there's ever been anything like this, but, like, do you see you guys ever, like, honoring, like, because WWE doesn't do a War Games, so did you guys see yourselves doing...
We did run War Games.
Okay.
We ran a War Games in 2007? Have you watched it lately?
I don't know. It was 7.
Was it 2007? Yeah. At a rec center here in town where we actually had two rings and the full... thing around. It's on YouTube. It's mm-hmm. like, it's like, you know, the Dynasty against the Destiny. It's like Rickon versus team against the heel Joey Silvia's team, basically. And I was extremely happy with it. A huge pain in the butt to try and set up and, you know, pull off and everything. But, like, you know, that piece of video kind of lives forever. And I think we're all content with that, having pulled it off once. I don't think anyone's going out of their way to try and pull it off again. If a rec center were to come to us, or anyone with money come to us, like, hey, I want a War Games in my building because I'm an old school wrestling fan. Well, we'll make it happen, but we're not going out of the way to try and do it ourselves. But I'm very happy with it that we were able to do one.
Ken, do you want to see more? I'm not razzing you or anything.
No, you're
but
good.
Do you want to see more factions? Do you find it interesting if there's factions done in the old, like, NWA style, like Four Horsemen?
Do you mean like the factions we use in CWF, or just...
Yes, yeah. Would you be interested in doing something like that?
I mean,
Something that there, even if you're not involved in it?
I mean, like, I've had talks with Grant about, like, man, it'd be cool if I was in a faction one day, but, like, the factions that we have, like, that we talk about, like, you know, we've talked about Fatback, we've talked about the Dynasty, the All-Stars are still a thing, we never know who's in it half the time, but we still have them. I don't know, like, creating a faction is kind of weird, because, like, you know, the whole thing with the Riot that never actually really clicked, it was just a bunch of guys attacking, they called it a Riot, but I don't know, it's something you just have to know when to do, and I feel like it's something you have to know how to keep it rolling, because, like I said, I don't know, like, Fatback's not a thing anymore, the Dynasty's not really a thing, and, like, you know, the All-Stars is just, you know, Roy Wilkins and whoever's with them, you know. So, I don't know.
Can I make one comment about the faction thing?
Absolutely.
It just needs to be a natural fit. I think that's a lot of people, especially in indie wrestling, kind of lose sight. Like, they'll just try to put people together that aren't a natural fit. And, you know, sometimes maybe it'll work. But, like, you can't just force people to be together. Like, the Fatback thing was such a natural fit because we were all the best of friends, you know. That faction existed before it ever was on a show, you know, and...
It was a clique of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very Fatback versus CWF in many ways, but, you know, the old establishment versus the new establishment kind of thing. But even, like, anytime Rick Converse had a faction, it was Rick's friends, you know, like, and I don't think you can just force that to happen. Like, if Kane was obviously, like, hanging out with someone a lot and there was a clear chemistry there and whatnot, I think you can consider the idea, but it's not like you can just, like, okay, I want Kane and other... Let me say Movie Mike. I'm just picking a name out of the air.
Damn,
I want Kane and Movie Mike to be a faction. Well, but why? You know, why do we want them to be back? Well, we need more teams. Well, but it's not a natural fit. You know, I'm big on everything feeling organic is humanly possible in wrestling, because that's the stuff that really gets over. You know, DX and the Horsemen. I mean, they were friends. There's that bond.
All right. Well, I'm running out of steam. You guys have been really nice, and we're coming up on the 30-minute mark. Kane managed to be a human for the last 5 minutes, so I think it's good. We should end there.
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you guys both for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, for my final segment for the first season, I had to actually tape new content. This is the first time I've done that in a while. We had to get on Skype. And JB, unfortunately, is on a much-deserved two-day getaway for the weekend because it is the calm before the storm. Because we are just days away from CWF FanCon on CWF Rumble weekend. So I called up my buddy, and it's perfect because he's also a member of the PTBN family. So I got Pete with me. Pete, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. What about you, Johnny?
I'm doing all right. Pete, how many projects do you have now? You do This Week in Wrestling, you do the Worldcast.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And you also have become an unofficial promoter. Thank you. For the CWF FanCon.
It's great, because I've been talking about getting down there as on my bucket list this year, and then you guys come up with the great idea of FanCon, and it's like, oh, bingo, and it's at a great show coinciding with the Rumble, and so I'm so excited to be in that building, because it really feels like a throwback to what I watched. I watch it weekly now, of course, but I mean, it was clearly a throwback to me going and watching WTBS on 605 and stuff. So I'm really excited about being in that building.
Yeah, and every week you and Timothy do a segment on This Week in Wrestling where you talk about CWF Worldwide, the last week's episode, and just talk about CWF in general. So everybody, if you weren't unaware, which I don't know why you would be, but if you were unaware, go check that out. It's on the same feed. Now, Pete, you and I have, this is kind of like a Dylan thing too. We all come from kind of the same family tree of wrestling fans, and we're all in the same age range. So I don't even know when you and I became friendly, because we were doing good old Will's reaction show together. And we might have done some, I know I met Dylan on some stray one in like 2011 after reading his stuff, and I had read your stuff too. But we're travel buddies for major events, and that's one of the things that's so interesting and makes this an important, is because you and I usually go to Mania together, and then we coordinate. We didn't go together, but we coordinated going to SCI this year, which the Hales Clan helped put on. And so this is a big deal, because you're flying in you're flying to Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
And then JB's going to grab you, and you're coming in for the CWF FanCon. What are you most looking forward to for the weekend?
Well, of course, I mean, I'm going to lie, the Rumble. At first, I was a little hesitant when I heard that Trevor Lee was going to be defending the title in it, because I wanted to see a Trevor Lee epic one-on-one title match. But I know how good the creative is at CWF Mid-Atlantic. I mean, they've been around for, 15-plus years or so, and they're like really one of the last true territories when it comes to wrestling. Now everything's either an indie or a major promotion. This is a straight up territory, and where the television's episodic. And I've always talked about this, about history. If you have a lot of history, which the company does, they can weave so much stuff in this Rumble, especially with Trevor Lee, defending his title. It was just kind of reminiscent of like Ric Flair in 92 at the Royal Rumble when he won his first WWF title. And we could go back, and there was like so much history with him and Hogan, him and Kerry Von Erich, him and Greg Valentine. It was almost like a who's who at one point. It was him and Bob Backlund, who were the kingpins in the 80s, were in the ring together. I mean, there's just so many interesting things that could happen, and I'm expecting that to happen, so I'm really excited about that.
I definitely, I'm throwing it out there, I want to be involved in any post-mortem discussion when Trevor does drop the belt. And that leads to my next question. Do you think, since we're getting into the Rumble right away anyway, do you think Trevor drops the belt? And if so, what's a scenario or two that you could see happening if that were the case?
I don't see it happening. With that said, I'm expecting a big angle coming out of this Rumble to get planting the seeds for the big Battle Cage show in December.
Yeah, it's funny. I came to this idea late because I think more in terms of traditional, because it's CWF, I think in terms of you have to transfer to a heel before you go to a face. So even though I think the big match is with Jet, probably at Battle Cage, I was prior to this conversation thinking in terms of, could Eric Royal do a short-term run? I was thinking of the younger heels. I was thinking a lot of different scenarios that, that we could definitely get into. But one of the things I'm thinking is this is a perfect opportunity to have some dissension. You can do almost like the Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan in the Rumble, beef before their WrestleMania 6 match where they clear the ring and then they look at each other and then the crowd goes nuts. And I hope they do something like that if that's the match they're going towards. But there also are scenarios where you could use younger guys to get the belt off of him post this for short term, or even have Chet beat him at Battlecade if we're saying that he wins here and right away have it taken by two of my top draft picks, one of which is sadly gone. I was going to say Logan's a guy that you have take it off of Chet almost immediately, and then you have Chet chase Logan because they have a history together and they work well together. The other person I was thinking of on the sly could have been Alex Daniels, and unfortunately it seems like Daniels is no longer going to be wrestling, which is just a crime to the art of pro wrestling. Are there any scenarios that you see for Chet walking out on this with this one? It seems like a waste of shot.
It makes sense in a way because he just won the Weaver Cup, so they're positioning him, and he has his gets a title shot. I could easily see him. I just don't buy Chet as a top face, and I don't buy him as a top heel. I like him as a worker, so I just don't know if that's the decision they need to make. I mean, but they can definitely the creative. They can definitely They can definitely build them up, so I want to see that. I need to see that.
What about as a chasing babyface?
I would enjoy him as a chasing babyface. I think it would work. I just don't know. I mean, I like Logan. I mean, I think he would make a good champ and somebody who Logan could chase. And I like their chemistry in the ring together. I think they're fantastic. I still think they missed the boat with Nick Richards. That crowd wanted Nick Richards to win. So, I mean, if there was a way to manipulate it and maybe make Richards heel out of this with a hot angle, I can maybe get behind that, even though I still think they missed the boat on the timing. Because when you have the crowd who wants to see a title change and wants to see the torch passed, I think they missed it here. So now you still have that emotion. I think it's time to maybe manipulate it. And maybe have Nick have some dark feelings about Trevor, beating him and stuff.
I do have two Nick scenarios, but I'm going to tread on egotism here, just in case either A, Stutzy happens to give this a listen, but also B, because I'm going to see him this week. And, Brad is somebody who definitely wants his ideas to be pure and his ideas. So I don't want to say anything that he might actually even be touching on something that he's planning. I do see two scenarios, I'll say, for Nick, without actually saying those scenarios. Final question, and we'll move off of the Rumble onto the FanCon. So we both kind of see Trevor as leaving with the belt, more than likely, after some great twists and turns, because they do an amazing job. Grant Sawyer does a lot of the booking for the Rumble. That's kind of his baby. So obviously, Stutzy at the end of the day signs off on everything and has a lot to say about it. So they'll give you a lot of stories. Everything that you've come to love about CWF will be in an hour long, super match. It's what the Rumble for WWE at one point was and sometimes is even now. So final question. If we both think that Trevor's leaving, it's kind of a Tiger Woods versus the field scenario. So what are the odds on somebody from the field taking this? What would you put the odds at?
10%.
Okay. That's pretty low. All right.
What about you?
So I guess yours, I'm bad at math. It's been 20 years out of the classroom. So that's 1 in 10, right?
I honestly don't think there's no way in hell he's losing the belt. I mean,
well, I'll go lower. I'll go 1 in 5.
Okay.
Because that's kind of the number I had in my head. But I think both of us are going to get blown out of the water on that one. But moving on. Is there something at FanCon that you were looking forward to? Anything, just in the experience, something. And you could say that you're just coming for the Rumble, too, just because I'm doing the FanCon thing. You can still say whatever you want.
I'm actually super excited about talking to some of the wrestlers and stuff. I really want to if I have the opportunity. I really want to pick Eric Royal's brain and Kane Justice's brain.
Oh, I would say that you definitely will be able to do that. They're going to be pretty accessible, not only for like private conversations, but also for podcasting. Pete will be there, you know, taping a bunch of content. And definitely use the hashtag, because we all will be there. Hashtag CWFFanCon. To get out your videos, your tweets, your pictures, everything.
And if you guys can't be there live, I also will be sending all my footage immediately to my partner, Timothy. And he might be doing shooting some wraparounds and then uploading it so you guys can do it. And we can do it in real time as close as possible.
Right. So, okay. So as far as the Q&As go, like the people you're most likely, you're most into talking to, or the heel panel then?
Yeah, the heel panel. Of course, I always like to hear creative because I'm always curious because I'm not in the business at all. But I've watched a lot of wrestling where I feel like I'm a pretty good fantasy booker. So I always like to talk to them and hear about why they're doing certain things, why they do this. You know, I'm always a big person on the pundit of why. Even in a wrestling match, I want to know why X is doing this to Y. It's just something to me. I think the most important question in wrestling is why is something happening.
I think the thing I'm most looking forward to is hopefully if it comes off, knock on wood, we'll have a really cool surprise for everybody on Saturday. And I don't want to give specifics about anything, but I think it'll be fun and it'll pop the crowd and shake things up a bit. I guess I should say, since we're doing this, this is the last episode for this run, for this season of CWF Road Diaries. I have been in touch with at least 4 people. So I do plan on continuing. There'll probably be a week break. I am bouncing around the idea of taping some actual FanCon content and maybe putting it together as some sort of like audio documentary, but like time has been super limited. Like I told you guys, I've barely gotten to touch the boys of Gibsonville Dock because of life, and that's just killing me. So we shall see. But so yeah, this show will continue. I don't want to say the names in case we don't actually record with them, but it looks like I'm going to find 20 minutes here and there to talk to people and cut it all up. Pete, do you have any final thoughts?
I'm just looking forward to the whole entire experience because I had a blast at Scenic City, and this is kind of like a similar in vein to the Scenic City one. So I'm super passionate about CWF Mid-Atlantic since I watch it every week, review it every week. And so to be in that, it's like you have that personal stake in it. Like it was kind of like last year. One of my bullet points from last year was after seeing Scenic City Scenic City 2, and I thought that was an incredible show that I so wanted to go this year, and so I did, and I'm so happy that I did and met a lot of people. And like two of the guys I met at I met Ben over at Romania last year, but I met my other roommate here, Josh, at Scenic City, and our friend, we hit it off, and now we'll be rooming again here at CWF FanCon and the Rumble. So it's just neat how all these, you know, everything comes full circle when you meet people and your traveling experiences. Looking forward to meeting people I haven't met before. And then, you know, realigning with new, you know, old acquaintances. Can't wait to see JB. It'll be great to see Grant and Stutzy and Seth Cecil again. I just can't wait. It's cool. I mean, it's hard. Sometimes it's so hard to get around. Like for me, I don't have a lot of friends who I socialize with in my real life who are wrestling fans. So coming out here to be able to talk wrestling and what we like and what we don't like about wrestling, I think it's fun. And it'd be super cool. And it's always cool to see people I haven't seen in a while or people I've never met and we hit it off. So it'd be cool to meet a bunch of the wrestlers and all that stuff. But I'm also excited about meeting all the fans who are attending and have that same passion that we all have in have all in common is wrestling and especially CWF Mid-Atlantic.
That's kind of a hidden gem for it. And if like, if you're on the fence and you're like, oh, I can't come. If you're anywhere near the Gibsonville, Burlington, North Carolina area, which is like, you know, 15, 20 minutes outside of Greensboro, North Carolina, just come down. We're starting off 6 p.m. Friday at the Sportatorium. You just look up CWF Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium. Just Google it. You'll get the address. 6 p.m. Friday, we're going to have a meet and greet dinner and fully catered. It's just $10 to get in. Everything past that is free. We're going to go to about 11 o'clock. We'll have a Q&A with the creative head and the production head the first night. Then we're going to watch some matches. Then we're going to all go back to the Ramada. The next day starts at 10 a.m. with the babyface panel. 11 a.m. as of now is the heel panel. And then noon is your CWF legends and stories thing. And then we're going to have about an hour around 12:45, 1 o'clock till about 2, where it's another kind of like a meet and greet where you can buy merch and talk to fans and get pictures with wrestlers and different things. And then that night, I think it's a 7 p.m. start is, and you can look that up online too, is the CWF Rumble. So like the point is what Pete just said is important because I didn't know Pete except as a guy who posted on the internet years ago. And now we're friends. We talk all the time. We travel together. I love whenever he brings up Ben because we met Ben together because you and I were travel buddies. Ben needed a ride from a party we were at over Mania weekend. Now we're all very close. We talk all the time. Ben is just a great guy to know.
And we're all going to Mania together next year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And JB is another person I picked up from CWF, you know, and I introduced you to JB personally, but you would, you know, talk to him online a bit. Now you guys talk and he's doing you a solid and getting you from the airport.
Pick me up at the airport, yeah.
You get involved in these niche groups. And there's a hidden, it's not just about the wrestling. There's like a hidden payoff for it. So I just want to encourage everyone, if you're on the fence, man, come and make some friends. Everybody's really nice. And this being our kind of prequel year, it's going to be really neat because it's going to be smaller and more intimate. It's in the Sportatorium. So just come. And otherwise, I guess we're done, Pete. Thank you so much for, in a pinch, doing this with me.
I've been to some great live wrestling experiences. I'm expecting this to be right up there and a great memory for me and stuff.
Well, you've sat and watched me at shows be, you know, all thoughtful and intellectual or get emotional about like behind the scenes stuff and booking. CWF is a place where I go to lose my head and just be a crazy fan. So hopefully you'll get to see another Johnny P. I just hope I don't take my shirt off and start swinging it around my head and screaming.
All I know is that no good Eric Royal and that coach just better watch out. I'm bringing my A game.
You should bring a hat, too. And dare Eric Royal to take your fedora off your head. All right, man. We're going to get out of here. The next season hopefully will drop in like 2 or 3 weeks. Thanks again to Pete. Poddington Bear does our title track, which people seem to like. Go to poddingtonbear.com. You can reach me at John Philip Pavage on Twitter. That's at JohnPhilipAvage. Pete, why don't you give him a plug for your shows and your Twitter?
Yeah, check out This Week in Wrestling with my buddy Timothy, and then WorldCast, which is us reviewing all the world-class episodes that are up on the network in order with Kelly Nelson and Johnny Sorrow. And so we get a little bit of modern wrestling, and then if you want, you get a glimpse of a history of wrestling. So I get to be able to bask in both things that I like, so it's awesome. And follow me on Twitter at Titans O'Wrestling.
Johnny's a gem because he's a Northeasterner at heart, too, and I get a lot of his jokes and his humor. So the WorldCast is awesome, and Timothy's just a great wrestling thinker who's kind of like bridges the gap from the new school fan base to the old school. So, all right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you. I'll see you all in a few weeks. But I'd really like to see you in person shaking my hand at the CWF FanCon this weekend, October 13th and 14th. Talk to you all later.